Constance has seen the morning paper, right? The Times? Ostrom shook his head. Felder froze. No? You're sure about that? I'm positive. The only newspapers, radios, and televisions that are patient-accessible are in the library, and Constance has been in her room all morning. Nobody has seen her? No staff? No nurses? Nobody. Her door hasn't been unlocked since last night. The log states it quite clearly. He frowned. Is something the matter? Felder realized he'd been holding his breath. He exhaled slowly. Nothing. Thank you. And he walked out of the lobby into bright sunlight. Chapter 20. Corey Swanson had put out a routine Google alert for Aloysius Pendergast. At 2 a.m., as she fired up her laptop and collected her email, she saw she'd gotten a rare hit. It was an obscure document, a transcript of an inquest held in a place called Cairn Barrow, Scotland. The inquest was dated some weeks before, but it had just been posted online today. As she read the dry, legalistic language, a sense of complete disbelief took hold. Without commentary or analysis or even a conclusion, the transcript was nothing more than a record of the testimony of various witnesses relating to a shooting incident on some Highland moor. A terrible, utterly unbelievable incident. She read through it again, and again, and yet again, each time feeling an increase in the sense of unreality. Clearly, this strange tale was only the tip of some iceberg, with the real story submerged beneath the surface. None of it made sense. She felt her emotions morphing, from disbelief to unreality to desperate anxiety. Pendergast, shot dead in a hunting accident? Impossible. Hands trembling slightly, she fished out her notebook and looked up a telephone number, hesitated, then swore softly to herself and dialed the number. It was DeGusta's home number, and he wouldn't be happy getting a call at this hour. But screw it. The cop had never called her back, never followed through on his promise to look into it. She swore out loud again, this time louder, as her fingers misdialed and she had to start over. It rang about 5 times, and then a female voice answered. Hello? I want to talk to Vincent DeGusta. She could hear the tremor in her own voice. A silence. Who is this? Corey took a deep breath. If she didn't want to get hung up on, she'd better cool her jets. This is Corey Swanson. I'd like to speak to Lieutenant DeGusta. The lieutenant isn't here, came the chilly response. Perhaps I could take a message. Tell him to call me, Corey Swanson. He has my number. And this is in reference to... She took a deep breath. Getting mad at DeGusta's wife or girlfriend or whoever wouldn't help. Agent Pendergast? I'm trying to find out about Pendergast, she said, and added, I worked with him on a case. Agent Pendergast is dead, I'm sorry. Just hearing it seemed to strike her dumb. She swallowed, tried to find her voice. How? A shooting accident in Scotland. There it was, confirmation. She tried to think of something more to say, but her mind was blank. Why hadn't DeGusta called her? But there was no point in talking further with this person. Look, have the lieutenant call me ASAP. I'll pass on the message, was the cool response. The phone went dead. She slumped in her chair, staring at the computer screen. This was crazy. What was she going to do? She felt suddenly bereft, as if she had lost her father. And there was no one to talk to, no one to grieve with. Her own father was 100 miles away, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. She felt suddenly, desperately alone. Staring at the computer screen, she clicked on the link to the website about Pendergast she had been lovingly maintaining. www.agentpendergast.com Working quickly, almost automatically, she created a frame with a thick black border and began to write within it. "I've just learned that Agent P, Special Agent AXL Pendergast, has passed away in a bizarre and tragic accident. This is awful. I can hardly believe it to be true. I can't believe the world can keep spinning without him on it. It happened during a hunting trip to Scotland." But even as she wrote the eulogy, fighting back tears, the surreal aspects of the story began to reassert themselves in her mind. And in the end, as she finished and posted it, she wondered if she even believed what she had just written. Chapter 21. The Foulmire. Judson Esterhazy paused to catch his breath. It was an uncharacteristically sunny morning, and the boggy moorlands that surrounded him on all sides shone in rich browns and greens. In the distance, he could see the dark line of the Inish marshes, and between the hillocks ahead of him, a few hundred yards away, stood the small stone cottage known as Glim's Home. Esterhazy had heard tell of it, but had initially dismissed it as being too many miles from the site of the shooting and far too primitive for Pendergast to have received the kind of medical attention he would have needed. But then he'd learned that D'Gusta had been in Inverkirkton, asking around for Pendergast, and from there he'd discovered that Glim's Home was the last place D'Gusta had visited before returning to America, disappointed. But was he truly disappointed? The more he thought about it, the more it began to seem, perversely, the kind of place Pendergast would have chosen to recuperate. And then, accidentally, in the course of background research into the official records of the Shire of Sutherland, Esterhazy had learned the nugget that convinced him. The strange old woman who lived in the stone cottage in front of him was Dr. Roscommon's aunt. This was a fact that Roscommon, all too clearly a man of habitual restraint, had kept concealed from the good folk of Inverkirkton. Positioning himself behind a thicket of gorse, Esterhazy took out his binoculars and observed the cottage. He could see the old woman through the downstairs window, laboring over a stove and moving about. After a while, she removed something from the stove, and he watched as she walked past the window and out of sight. For a moment she was gone, and then he saw her figure pass by the second-story window, carrying what looked like a mug. He could just barely see her